Final Test Part A
Directions In this part, you'll hear 10 short statements. Each will be read only once. After each statement, there will be a pause. During the pause, read the 4 suggested answers and then choose the best one.
Number 1. Many of these $80 silk blouses will be on sale for half price at the end of the month.
Number 2. Barbara was supposed to arrive in time for lunch, but she was 1 hour and a half late.
Number 3. Ellie wants to transfer to Columbia University because she has many friends there.
Number 4. The trip to Alaska was worth neither the time nor the money.
Number 5. Rarely have I had such a wonderful meal in the White Rose restaurant.
Number 6. Anne ran as fast as she could to catch the bus. Unfortunately, she missed it and was late for class.
Number 7. Bill would rather do anything than cook.
Number 8. Mrs. Jones wanted to take a bath before going to bed, so she asked her husband to keep an eye on the baby.
Number 9. He returned the books to the library one day before they were due.
Number 10. The dinner would have been perfect if it hadn't been for the soup.
Part B.
Directions. In this part, you'll hear 15 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. The conversation and the question will be read just once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, read the 4 suggested answers and then choose the best one.
Number 11. Would you like to read a magazine or do you prefer a detective story?
Thanks. I have some work to do, although I'd rather take a nap.
What will the man do?
Number 12. I like these glasses very much, but they look like they would be quite expensive.
Yes, they're $15 a piece, or $150 a dozen. Actually, that's not very expensive.
How much do 2 glasses cost?
Number 13. Did you enjoy your trip to the beach yesterday?
Yes, but I shook all over after I came out of the water.
What do we learn about the woman?
Number 14. Have you ever seen so much snow?
I'm tired of all this cold. I wish we'd see the sun for a change.
What are they discussing?
Number 15. Are you coming to a movie with us this evening?
If only I had finished my lab report. I would be joining you with pleasure.
What is the woman going to do?
Number 16. Can you pass me the potato chips?
Don't you think you've had enough?
What does the woman mean?
Number 17. May I ask how much you paid for this journal?
I don't know exactly, because I've subscribed to it. Though each issue comes a few days later, it costs about 30% less overall.
Why did the man subscribe to the journal?
Number 18. I went to Los Angeles last week, but I forgot to call Ellen. I feel very sorry about that.
You don't have to feel sorry. Ellen wouldn't have been there anyway. She is now a famous actress in New York.
What can we learn from the conversation?
Number 19. How did you like that movie last night?
Well, considering the reviews it had received, we were expecting a much better one.
How did the woman feel about the movie?
Number 20. The weatherman says it's going to be really hot and sultry tomorrow. Let's go to the beach.
Okay, but we'll have to leave very early, or we'll get caught in the traffic.
What's the woman most concerned about?
Number 21. When did you first discover the window broken and your belongings missing?
Right after getting up, around 6:30. That's when I called the police station and reported the break-in.
What's the topic of the conversation?
Number 22. Would you like a coffee for a break?
Just wait for a while. I'm trying to finish the experiment before the meeting.
What does the woman want to do?
Number 23. I've spent hours going over the lessons, but I don't seem to be able to pass the exam.
Why don't you ask Eric to give you some private lessons? He is very good at English.
What advice does the man give the woman?
Number 24. I wonder how Arthur built his reputation in such a short time.
With hard work and a little luck, I suppose.
What do we learn about Arthur?
Number 25. Hi, Mary. You look as white as a sheet. What happened?
I nearly had a terrible accident. I was driving down North Street when a school bus pulled over in front of me. I had to swerve quickly to keep from getting hit.
What can we infer from the conversation? Part C.
Directions. In this part, you'll hear a passage three times. When it is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. Then listen to the passage for the second time and fill in the blanks number 26 to 32 with the exact words you've just heard. For blanks numbered 33 to 35, fill in the missing information. You can either use the exact words you've just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, check your answers when the passage is read for the third time. First reading.
As the plane circled over the airport, everyone sensed that something was wrong. The plane was moving unsteadily through the air, and although the passengers had fastened their seatbelts, they were suddenly thrown forward. At that moment, the air hostess appeared. She looked very pale, but was quite calm. Speaking very quickly, but almost in a whisper, she informed everyone that the pilot had fainted and asked if any of the passengers knew anything about machines, or at least how to drive a car. After a moment's hesitation, a man got up and followed the hostess into the pilot's cabin. Moving the pilot aside, the man took his seat and listened carefully to the urgent instructions that were being sent by radio from the airport below. The plane was now dangerously close to the ground, but to everyone's relief, it soon began to climb. The man had to circle around over the airport several times in order to become familiar with the controls. But the danger had not yet passed. The terrible moment came when he had to land. Following instructions, the man guided the plane towards the airfield. It shook violently as it touched the ground and then moved rapidly across the field. But after a long run, it stopped safely. Outside, a crowd of people who had been watching anxiously rushed forward to congratulate the man on a perfect landing.
Second reading.
As the plane circled over the airport, everyone sensed that something was wrong. The plane was moving unsteadily through the air, and although the passengers had fastened their seatbelts, they were suddenly thrown forward. At that moment, the air hostess appeared. She looked very pale, but was quite calm. Speaking very quickly, but almost in a whisper, she informed everyone that the pilot had fainted and asked if any of the passengers knew anything about machines, or at least how to drive a car. After a moment's hesitation, a man got up and followed the hostess into the pilot's cabin. Moving the pilot aside, the man took his seat and listened carefully to the urgent instructions that were being sent by radio from the airport below. The plane was now dangerously close to the ground, but to everyone's relief, it soon began to climb. The man had to circle around over the airport several times in order to become familiar with the controls. But the danger had not yet passed. The terrible moment came when he had to land. Following instructions, the man guided the plane towards the airfield. It shook violently as it touched the ground and then moved rapidly across the field. But after a long run, it stopped safely. Outside, a crowd of people who had been watching anxiously rushed forward to congratulate the man on a perfect landing.
Final reading.
As the plane circled over the airport, everyone sensed that something was wrong. The plane was moving unsteadily through the air, and although the passengers had fastened their seatbelts, they were suddenly thrown forward. At that moment, the air hostess appeared. She looked very pale, but was quite calm. Speaking very quickly, but almost in a whisper, she informed everyone that the pilot had fainted and asked if any of the passengers knew anything about machines, or at least how to drive a car. After a moment's hesitation, a man got up and followed the hostess into the pilot's cabin. Moving the pilot aside, the man took his seat and listened carefully to the urgent instructions that were being sent by radio from the airport below. The plane was now dangerously close to the ground, but to everyone's relief, it soon began to climb. The man had to circle around over the airport several times in order to become familiar with the controls. But the danger had not yet passed. The terrible moment came when he had to land. Following instructions, the man guided the plane towards the airfield. It shook violently as it touched the ground and then moved rapidly across the field. But after a long run, it stopped safely. Outside, a crowd of people who had been watching anxiously rushed forward to congratulate the man on a perfect landing.
Part D.
Directions. In this part, you'll hear four short passages. Each will be read just once. After each passage, you'll be asked some questions about what was said. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
Passage 1. Doctors have known for a long time that extremely loud noises can cause hearing damage or loss. The noise can be the sound of a jet airplane, or machines in factories, or loud music, or other common sounds found at home and at work. A person only needs to hear the noise for a little more than 1 second to be affected. An American scientist has found that using aspirin can increase the temporary hearing loss or damage from loud noise. He did an experiment using a number of male students at a university who all had normal hearing. He gave them different amounts of aspirin for different periods of time. He had them listen to loud noise for a couple of seconds, then he tested their hearing ability. He found that students who were given 4 grams of aspirin a day for 2 days suffered much greater temporary hearing loss than those who did not use aspirin. The hearing loss was about 2 times as great. The scientists said millions of persons in the United States use much larger amounts of aspirin than were used in the study. He said these persons face a serious danger of suffering hearing loss from loud noise.
Questions 36 to 39 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question number 36. What have doctors already known about extremely loud noise? Question number 37. What was one of the things the scientists did to all the students during the experiment? Question number 38. What does the passage mainly tell us? Question number 39. What can be inferred from the scientists' experiment?
Passage 2.
The French are famous for their wines. The Germans are famous for their beers. And the Americans are famous for their soft drinks. For example, colas, the country's most popular drinks, are available in almost every part of the world, and you can find them everywhere. What is in a soft drink? It's mostly soda water, sugar, and flavoring. Soft drinks have a long history. Their inventor was an Englishman named Joseph Priestley. His bubbling soda water was a copy of natural mineral water. About 40 years later, soft drinks were in the United States. At the end of the 19th century, lemon-flavored soda and root beer were popular. Still, in 1900, the yearly sales of soft drinks were only 12 bottles per person. Today, the average American drinks about 300 bottles a year. The Coca-Cola Company is the biggest soft drink company in the world. In recent years, its profits were over $400 million. Why do Americans drink so many soft drinks? Of course, it's a national habit. However, there's another reason, too. Soft drink ads are everywhere, and advertisements influence a lot of people.
Questions 40 to 42 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question number 40. What are the Americans famous for? Question number 41. Which of the following is true according to the passage? Question number 42. Which of the following is not mentioned?
Passage 3.
At the beginning of the 20th century, a new music called jazz was born in New Orleans. It was a kind of lively music intended to make people happy, but it was not so much a kind of music as a style of playing. The New Orleans musicians learned to work together to produce a relaxed beat. The beat is so powerful that the listeners cannot help but dance, or at least move their feet along with it. The best, and almost the only place to hear the original New Orleans jazz, is in Preservation Hall, in the French Quarter of the city. There, seven different bands, made up mostly of very old men, play the old music for 4.5 hours each evening. Some of the people in the audience are tourists, but most are serious music lovers who are willing to spend time sitting on plain wooden chairs and benches, and even on the floor. The musicians play the music they want to play, but the audience can ask for a particular song if they are willing to pay for it. Traditional songs cost $1, and all others cost $2. Old-style New Orleans jazz is in danger of disappearing because the players are getting old. Many of them are well over 70. The music did disappear once before, when people lost interest in it and the musicians had to make their living doing other things. But in 1938, the current jazz revival began, when music historian William Russell found the famous trumpet player Bunk Johnson working in the field and brought him back to New Orleans to play. When Preservation Hall reopened in 1961, the old music finally had a place to live again, and its popularity has grown ever since.
Questions 43 to 47 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question number 43. What is this passage mainly about? Question number 44. What was most unusual about New Orleans jazz bands? Question number 45. Who was Bunk Johnson? Question number 46. When did Preservation Hall reopen? Question number 47. Why did jazz disappear once before? Passage 4.
We all know what sleep does for us. Yet, it is a curious fact that science is still unable to explain exactly how the process of sleep takes place. It is believed that deep in the brain, there is a very complex area which is known as the sleep center. This center is regulated by the blood. In the course of the day, activity by the nerves and muscles in our body sends calcium into the blood. This calcium finally stimulates the sleep center to work, and then we go to sleep. The sleep center does two things when it makes us sleep. First, it blocks off the brain so that we have no willpower or consciousness. This is brain sleep. Second, it blocks off nerves leading from the brain so that our internal organs and limbs fall asleep. This is body sleep. Normally, when we are asleep, both reactions have taken place. It is possible, however, for these reactions to take place separately. For instance, the brain can sleep while the body is still awake. A very tired soldier can keep on marching with his legs, and his brain may be sleeping. Sleepwalkers do the same thing.
Questions 48 to 50 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question number 48. Which of the following finally makes the sleep center work? Question number 49. What can we learn about the sleep center from the passage? Question number 50. What does this passage mainly tell us?
This is the end of the final test.